This podcast is intended for an adult audience and does contain some very graphic descriptions of sensual scenes. So please only continue to listen to this podcast if you are willing to indulge in your deepest desires and are of a suitable age. On this episode of Wild in Bed, Cassie has a normal life, a boring, mundane existence. But every now and then it gets too much, and she needs to escape, to become the woman she knows burns inside. But has she gone too far this time? Is the businessman with the soulless eyes following her? Will he ruin her one moment of pleasure in an otherwise grey world? Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your destination for salacious stories, sensual satisfaction, and finger-licking good fantasies. Now you know, every story starts with somebody's fantasy, somebody's desire, somebody just like you. And it's so easy for you to just email me your desires at devlin@wildinbed.com. Then we can bring it to life right here. Now, you know this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. Loosen your clothes. Put your earbuds in. And just go ahead and close your eyes and surrender to the pleasure of my voice caressing over your body. And when you're ready to submit to your desires, just go ahead and take a nice deep breath and hold it for a moment, and then release it with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress. For the next 30 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time to relax, your time for sensual satisfaction, your time to discover your inner desires as you listen to my voice and feel the story moving through your body as you enjoy tonight's show. Dark clouds crowded the sky outside the airport as the raindrops drummed on the roofs of the cars along the pickup area. Another stiletto of lightning stabbed through the air, and a dutiful deep roll of thunder followed it, causing the car windows to vibrate with its deep resonation. Cassie hated storms. Every time the lightning impaled the sky and thunder erupted through the clouds, she winced with fear, clutching the crucifix around her neck. It was silly. She was a grown woman who had been raised in all the glory Mother Nature had to offer. So why on earth was she frightened of storms? They were perfectly natural. She winced again as the dark sky became illuminated with the glow of lightning. Raising her hand to hail a cab, another stab of lightning forced her to cower, losing the cab to some businessman. Well, it wasn't some businessman. He had been on her flight as well, taking her seat. So much for chivalry. For some reason, the steward had just accepted what he said without discussion, and Cassie was not in the mood to argue. Oh, the steward had been very apologetic about it after, even offering her additional alcoholic refreshers for the journey. But that man, those cold, dark eyes of his, that stare that had no emotion, God, it made her shiver now just remembering them. She cursed him 1,000 times as the stolen cab disappeared through the veil of rain. Furious and determined, she turned back to the road and hailed another one, breathing a sigh of relief as it pulled up to the curbside. Not willing to lose this one, Cassie grabbed the door handle, thrust the door open, and threw herself and her bags onto the rear seat, ending up in a crumpled, wet mess in the back of the cab. "Marriott Hotel on East Street, please," she said, grateful to be out of the rain. The rain that still hammered on the roof as the driver carved his way through the storm. Cassie closed her eyes, shutting out the violent symphony of car horns and thunder that filled the air. Maybe she nodded off for a minute, or maybe an hour, she didn't know. What she did know is that she was woken by a blast of cold air as the cab driver held open the door, his hand reaching inside to help her out.
"Marriott Hotel, madam," he said with his broken English, a broad smile adorning his face, paying the cab driver and following a porter with her luggage into the foyer. She stood impatiently in front of the reception desk, suddenly desperate for a hot shower and a lay down. It seemed to take forever to actually book in, and once she was, the young man behind the desk looked at her, smiling, before handing her an envelope and parcel, saying, "This arrived for you earlier." Cassie looked at the envelope and package for the longest moment. She was always surprised by the efficiency of the people that ran these events. But then the contents of this envelope was what these next few hours were all about. So of course they would. Taking the envelope and parcel, she thanked the receptionist and headed to her room, leaving the storm, the noise of the hotel, the ill-mannered businessman behind her as the door closed. Finally slipping out of her heels, Cassie wasted no time getting undressed and luxuriating in a shower. There was something about showers after a flight. They always felt so good. Probably all the added stress. And now, she just felt relaxed. Eventually tearing herself away from the shower, drying and discovering the bed. It was a shame she would not be in the hotel overnight. The bed did feel incredibly comfortable. Cassie eased her fingers around her neck and released the clasp of her mother's crucifix, which always adorned her neck. Well, not always. When she was playing the game, it felt a little disrespectful to her mother's memory to be wearing it. Kissing the crucifix and saying a silent prayer for her mom, she placed it on the nightstand as she lifted the envelope, turning the embossed envelope around and around in her fingers as if it would do something special. Of course, it was just an envelope. It wasn't going to do anything. But it did contain something that might improve Cassie's life, if only for a couple of hours. She was procrastinating and she knew it. It was exciting, exhilarating and nerve-wracking all at once. Slipping her newly polished nails through the envelope sill, she paused for a moment before removing the card inside. The card itself had a wonderfully luxurious feel, as if it were made of velvet. The edges scalloped and adorned with gold leaf. Truly, it was wonderful just to hold. Turning the card over, the calligraphy was beautifully done. It sparkled as if the ink had only just dried. Whispering the words as she read them, 9:45, Reverend Green, the billiard room, with the rope. Smiling as she toyed the edge of the card over her lips, wondering about Reverend Green for a moment, her smile stretched a little further. Picking up the parcel, she fumbled it for a moment, trying to guess the contents. Of course, there was no use. It was an outfit, which one she couldn't know until she opened the package. Eventually, curiosity got the better of her, and Cassie pressed her nail over the wrapping paper, forcing the parcel open. An eruption of luxurious purple exploded from the gap. "Mrs. Peacock," she whispered, in two minds whether to be insulted or not. She wasn't that old, and certainly could keep up with the best of them. Opening the package fully, the outfit was beautiful and extremely luxurious. Cassie had never even considered purple lingerie as her, but there was something most definitely seductive about the sheer purple teddy that she pulled from the package. So the die had been cast. Tonight she would be the mature, strong, flamboyant woman that was Mrs. Peacock, and her mystery partner would be the innocent and slightly kinky Reverend Green, who was also virginal by all accounts. It was going to be an interesting few hours, to say the least. It was still strange to think that the organizers managed to match so many people's fantasies so well. Well, were they also predictable? You selected your fantasy, and they would find you another player who had a similar fantasy and put you together for a few hours. Of course, it was very different now to when they first started. Cassie had been there in the first days of the game, when it was still online, just for some college friends. Everyone knew each other. It had been after a particularly heavy party. They had decided to use the characters from Cluedo in the game. It seemed to make it a little kinkier. Now it had just expanded exponentially. Friends of friends became invited. She even suspected complete strangers from the internet were involved. They were definitely using different hotels for the games, so the numbers must be quite large now. At least the costumes had improved, Cassie thought. She could remember when they had to make their own. She giggled to herself as her fingers trailed through the purple material. Satin and velvet, definitely. The very caress of this outfit seemed to echo strength and seduction. Of course, it was a high-quality lingerie. Mrs. Peacock never wore anything but the best. She suspected the club had spent more on her outfits than anyone else's. It was just getting past the whole mature MILF thing. Once you overcame that, it was a fantastic role to play. And Cassie suspected she did do it rather well. Well, none of her game partners had ever complained. She just wasn't sure how she felt about being the mature seductress of the group. She still felt sexy. She still had her inner passions. So why not? Taking the long velvet dress out of the bag, she hung it on her closet door, her fingers gently teasing over the soft material. Closing her eyes, she immersed herself in the sensual caress of the satin-lined velvet. The slit up to her thigh, so evocatively high, no doubt to give the hint of the pleasures that lay beyond. Taking the underwear out, the teddy was more than just a sheer piece of underwear. It was a work of art, decorated with floral patterns of black lace upon a sheer veil of salacious purple silk. It was soft to touch. It peppered goosebumps up her arms. Of course, the teddy had garter straps to fasten the included black seamed silk stockings with, and the patent black stilettos that promised so much in such a decadent way. And right there at the bottom, a coil of rope lay ominously silent. It was just a rope. It's what you did with it that made all the difference. Cassie knew it was probably strange but in her normal life, she was very reserved and shy. She knew when she had donned this outfit, this uniform, she would change. She would become the Mrs. Peacock of her fantasy. And whoever joined her in that fantasy today would surely enjoy the moment. But that was the point, wasn't it? For a few hours, they could be their fantasy. They could immerse themselves in their own desires, knowing that later they could return to their normal lives, a lot more satisfied. Cassie liked to take her time getting dressed. For her, it was part of the game, part of the pleasure. Finally, looking at herself in the mirror, she looked good enough to fuck, let alone anyone else fucking her, she decided. Slipping her feet into the shoes, they were, as ever, a little too large but wearable. Thankfully, she only had to move between rooms within the hotel. Reaching into her own suitcase, she retrieved her one personal addition, an auburn wig. It completed her transformation. Looking into the mirror, Cassie whispered, "Melissa Peacock, such a pleasure to meet you again." Turning, Melissa Peacock, rope in hand, left her hotel room to find the billiard room. The journey down was almost as much fun as the night itself promised to be. Men stopped to look at her, normally accompanied by protestations from their partners. The poor bellboy in the elevator blushed furiously and tried to hide his erection when Melissa had parted her legs enough to give a flash of her stocking tops through the slit in her skirt. By the time she found what might pass for a billiard room, well, it was a pool table in one of the private rooms off the bar. Her pussy was positively dripping with desire. The room was dimly lit, with just one light over the pool table and occasional wall lights decorating the wood panels. And for all she could tell, she was alone. The room was eerily silent. It had been a long time since she had played pool, but she could roughly remember what she was meant to do. And she couldn't just sit here waiting for Reverend Green to appear. Placing the coil of rope on a table, she racked the balls before selecting a cue that looked at least straight and fired the cue ball straight into the pack, spreading the colored balls to the far sides of the table. Stalking around the table to find her next shot, she suddenly became aware of nervous breathing in the shadows. Ah, the breath of the virgin, and just before his first experience, she thought. Leaning over the table to ensure the owner of the breath had a good view along the length of her skirt, she took her next shot. A whimper exploded from somewhere deep in the shadows. Melissa grinned against her ball cue. Turning, she leaned on the side of the table, sliding the ball cue slowly between her legs, forcing her skirt up to expose her stocking tops once again. "Reverend Green, I presume," she said playfully. Yes, the voice from the shadows replied, dripping with virginal innocence. "Well, don't be shy, man. Let me see you," she commanded. The man that tore himself from the shadows may have been innocent, but by his look she doubted he was a virgin. If he was, his parents must have kept him locked away for all his youth. He was at least 6 feet tall. He had a broad, muscular chest that was emphasized pleasantly by the tight material of his shirt. His biceps pressed on the material of his jacket. They rippled sensually beneath the material. His green eyes burned with desire as they danced over Melissa's body, his tongue furiously licking his lips. Obviously, he'd at least thought it what it might be like to taste a woman. Pull a seat up. Melissa growled, grinning as she watched him nervously move a chair in front of her and sitting down, placing a heel either side of his legs on the chair, ensuring he had a good view of the pleasure she promised. She let her skirt fall to either side of her legs, exposing her lingerie to full effect. Pressing the end of the cue between his thighs, she whispered, "So, your first time?"
Yeah, I dropped out of clergy training last month," he said nervously.
"And why did you drop out?" she asked.
I self-pleasured myself too much," he said, blushing, his head dropping from embarrassment. He was either a very good actor, or this was actually true, Melissa mused. Maybe she really had found her ultimate fantasy, to pervert an innocent man of the cloth. Her pussy throbbed in appreciation.
"Tell me, Reverend Green, have you ever tasted a woman?" Melissa asked, studying him intently while she pulled the pull cue hard against a wet pussy, pressing it against the sodden silk of her teddy.
No, Mrs. Peacock," he said, his blush burning in his cheeks. Moving the pull cue across his shoulder, she said,
"Lick this. See if you like it." The Reverend Green enthusiastically ran his tongue along the pull cue, tasting Melissa's glistening pleasure from the wood, pushing the heel of her shoe against his shoulder, pressing him back into the seat. She studied him for a moment. His swollen erection was painfully obvious beneath his pants. His eyes dripped with erotic need. This man could just come with a whisper of a command from her.
"So what did you imagine when you pleasured yourself, Reverend Green?" Melissa hissed.
I imagined having a woman dominate me, making me lick her pussy, and then commanding me to stroke myself until I came over her breasts," he replied nervously.
"Is that so?"
Melissa whispered coyly, placing a heeled foot on either shoulder. Dropping the cue, she pushed the remaining balls on the table to either side before laying back on the soft velvet, lifting her dress and pulling his head forward and between her thighs with her feet.
"And you better taste me, Reverend Green. Delight on the nectar dripping from my pussy,"
she said as his breath caressed her panties, inhaling her feminine scent. As if intoxicated by her fragrance, his tongue licked voraciously at her teddy, pressing along the wet silk like a man possessed. Vicious strokes of his tongue moved up and down her lips, each stroke fueled with needy passion. The desperation of a man who had never experienced the delights before, but had indulged in so many fantasies. What he lacked in finesse or experience, he made up for with raw passion and need. The heat of his breath, fueled by his own frustration and lust, burned along her pussy, his carnal moans thrusting between her folds. And desperate for him to discover her clit, Melissa reached down and pushed the drenched silk to one side. Her fingertip exposing her pink nub, she moaned, "Suck it." Wrapping her fingers tightly around his head and pulling him in against her swollen mound, she writhed against his stubbled chin. His lips responded with beautiful compliance, sucking hungrily on her clit, sparking some infant memory He sucked long and hard as if it were life-giving, his tongue whipping her clit with the abandon of teenage passion, punishing her sex with wicked pulses of pleasure, writhing her mound against his face, the stubble on his chin igniting the inferno of pleasure moving through her body. Melissa grasped at the sides of the pool table, trying to maintain control, her back arched under the torment of pleasure, unable to hold it back any longer. Her body resonated with the avalanche of her orgasm, trembling from head to toe as that wave of pleasure cascaded down her body. Relentlessly, the Reverend licked at her pussy, tasting every drop of pleasure dripping from her trembling lips, apparently oblivious to the cries for him to stop. Eventually, Melissa pushed back against his shoulders heavily, forcing him back into the seat. Sliding from the table, she walked slowly around him. Grabbing the rope, she whispered, "Looks like I might need to put a leash on this puppy." Wrapping the rope quickly around his wrists, she secured him to the chair before moving back in front of him again. Caressing her fingernail over his jawline, she lifted his head, his eyes pleading with her for mercy, for carnal satisfaction. "So, shall we see what is hidden beneath that starched shirt of yours? Maybe find you a sin worth repenting," she said as her fingernail dragged a painfully slow line over the muscular definition of his chest. Reaching the buckle of his pants, her fingernail moved along the tented zipper, forcing his hips to rise with desperate need. "How long have you been in chastity?" she asked innocently.
Eight years,
he replied, blushing. 8 years since you felt a pussy gripping that wonderfully hard cock of yours," she said, squeezing his erection through his pants firmly.
No, 8 years since I took the vow of chastity for the church. I was 16. I've never been with a woman."
His face burning an angry red. "Well, that does make tonight rather more special," she whispered as her lips caressed his ear, the warmth of her breath on his neck, forcing goosebumps to erupt over his body, his erection to throb against her touch. "I wonder what your big hard cock will feel like after 8 years in prison," she whispered, her lips brushing along his neck, and slid his zipper down, his erection exploding firmly into the air. Looking down, Melissa looked back up and held his gaze squarely as she whispered, "Oh my, all those years in captivity have made you very, very swollen. You must be just full of cum," she said, grinning at him like a Cheshire cat. Unzipping her dress, she let it fall to the ground, safe in the knowledge the rules of the game meant they wouldn't be disturbed. Straddling across him, the tip of his cock pulsed gently against the silk of her teddy. "Oh, you do feel so very good, Reverend Green. I can't wait to have your big, fat cock inside me," she whispered, the words creating tremors through his erection. Sliding her teddy to one side, she slid her folds along his tip, moaning gently in his ear. "That feel good for you, Reverend? As good as it does for me?"
Yes, please," he replied.
"Please what?" Melissa asked coyly, holding her dripping lips just over the tip of his cock.
"Please let me be inside you," he begged, his body tense with frustration.
"What? You don't want to come over my breasts?"
Do you want to feel your big, hard cock come inside this hot, wet pussy that is desperate for you instead? She replied playfully, reaching down and grasping his shaft, rubbing his cock head between her lips and over her clit. Please, incite you, he begged. Grinning, Melissa held his shaft as she slid slowly down his length, the sensation of his cock throbbing along her pussy as her core grasped at it wildly, rekindling her earlier orgasm. Slowly she slid up and down his erection, enjoying the growing wave of pleasure that assaulted her body, pacing herself, not wanting him to come until she was ready, until she was satisfied. Salacious words dripped from her lips with every movement, everyone describing in detail the feeling his cock created inside her body, each and every one accelerating both of their passions, both of their pleasures, feeling her orgasm reach the point where it would not be denied any longer. She impaled herself hard along his length, forcing his cock to explode inside her, their warm cum sliding from her lips as she thrust up and down until he was spent, her body vibrating brutally with her climax, leaning back, enjoying the pulsating sensation of his cock inside her pussy. She watched his young, innocent eyes for the longest moment, before reaching down between them and caressing a trail of cum onto her fingertip. And she drew a line across her breasts. Lick it off me, she commanded. Hungrily, he licked their mutual cum from her breasts, sucking the juices of their orgasms and biting the soft flesh of her breasts. His lips brushed over her erect nipples. Thrusting her fingers through his hair, Melissa pulled his head back, her lips embracing him heavily as their tongues explored each other's mouths, tasting their shared pleasure. Holding his gaze, Melissa whispered, "Well, I hope that was worth all those years in captivity." The Reverend Green just grinned. Standing, she released his ropes before putting her dress back on. Leaning down, she kissed him on his forehead and whispered, "Happy release day," before she turned and made her way back to her room. There was always an element of sadness when the game came to an end, she mused as she replaced the dress in its carrier. Undressing fully, the underwear returned to the packaging it had been in previously. Cassie wondered to herself why she never bought herself nice lingerie. Probably because normal Cassie was unsexy and didn't deserve it, she thought. These game nights were an escape from normality, where she could be the woman she knew she truly was inside. Showering and dressing back into her normal day clothes again, she collected her crucifix and attached it around her neck, sighing as the hotel door swung closed and finally clicked into place, announcing her return to normality. She passed couples in the corridor unnoticed. Even the bellboy didn't give her a second look. And Cassie was obviously a lot less interesting than Melissa. She eventually found herself at the reception desk once again, reluctantly handing over her keycard. Saying goodbye to Melissa was always so difficult. "Could you call me a cab, please, for the airport?" she asked. She could stay around for the night, but it would only make it worse, she decided. Best to get home, back to normal life. The receptionist smiled and nodded at her as she took her case,
and sat in the bar area, waiting to be called, enjoying a last vodka and dry before returning home. Looking across the seats, at the far end of the bar, a pair of familiar cold eyes bored into hers. His sharp, well-tailored suit all too familiar now. It made Cassie positively sick to look at him. Who the hell was he? Rising from her seat, she decided now was the time to find out. Draining the last of the drink from her glass, she turned to walk toward him, just as the hotel usher appeared next to her and said, "Mrs. Peacock, your cab is here." Turning to thank the attendant, she turned to face her nemesis. He was gone, yet again vanishing into the crowd of people. Irritated, Cassie followed the usher across the hotel floor and into the taxi, leaving her fantasy and the strange businessman hopefully far behind her. So, next week. The next part in our little serial. So who is the strange man with the dead eyes? And what does he want with Cassie? Well, you're just going to have to tune in next week to find out. So until next week, when we can get wild in bed all over again. I do look forward to it. And always with your pleasure in mind. This is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams.